Here's Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. Buckeye football a week from Saturday. As we've seen the landscape of this country and games getting canceled and teams trying to navigate the virus, and I'll tell you what, no one's going to be as strict as the Big Ten with that 21-day sit. I really don't know. I'll ask Doug here next, but I don't know what the SEC, what their rule is on if a kid tests positive, how long it is. But, boy, that's a house of cards in the Big Ten if we see what's happening around this country. Doug LaMaurice, our friend from Cleveland.com, jumps on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Doug, good to have you back.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good. Do you know that offhand, the SEC's rule on COVID tests? Like what happens with these kids from Florida?
I don't know all the comparisons across the conferences, but I agree with you that the way that the Big Ten laid it out when they decided they were going to play, I just think it's such a stark contrast between you see NFL teams who have a couple positive tests or whatever, you know, and they're pausing for a week, they're moving games back, and a lot of these other college conferences seem to be kind of pushing through an awful lot. Well, hey, we don't have, you know, there's a lot of guys we don't have this week, but we're still going to play. And I know it's more serious with Florida now, but I just feel like the Big Ten, my assumption is the Big Ten is going to be, is more serious about delaying and pausing when you have a certain number of positive tests. So caution means a chance for more delays. So I think you're right, Anthony. I just think Big Ten fans have to be more prepared for that we might just have more pauses because they're trying to be serious about it.
Yeah, I'm with both you guys. And, you know, looking at this Buckeye football team, man, I think a lot of people are excited to see what it's finally going to look like next weekend. And I know offensively there's a lot to like. And wanted to ask you about a wide receiver and Jamison Williams, because we know Olave and Garrett Wilson are going to be the guys and get a lot of work. But this is a guy, to me, Doug, that's popped off the screen in some moments with his, you know, speed and all that stuff. Like, what do you think he could bring to the table this season for the Buckeyes?
No, I love that. I mean, I think it's the most fun thing this time of year to look for the not quite so obvious guys who really could pop. And I think Jamison Williams fits that exactly because he's like the one guy in the middle, because Olave and Wilson are pretty established. And then you have these four true freshman receivers that everybody's talking about. And then you have Jamison Williams, who he's been around a little bit, but he certainly didn't play as much, is not as known as Olave or Wilson. But I just think Olave and Wilson are going to draw such attention from defenses, especially Garrett Wilson. I think being explosive in the slot is going to be a tough matchup for a lot of teams. And if that means that Jamison Williams outside winds up with one-on-one coverage and is going deep on stuff, I mean, he could absolutely be one of those guys where, you know, maybe he doesn't catch that many balls per game, but when he catches them, they're big, right? That he's one of those guys who has, you know, three catches for 85 yards kind of days. And I think if he's your third threat on the field at receiver, that's a really good third threat. And I'm right there with you to see how much of a difference he could make with Justin Fields on that deep ball.
Doug, trying to prognosticate this backfield, the running back help for Justin Fields, it's interesting whether it's going to be a little bit of a combo platter or whether they can have a bell cow back. Certainly Dobbins turned into that. What are you anticipating with the Sermon, Teague, and others, how the philosophy of what Ryan Day and his offense is going to be like from a running back standpoint?
I think we're all a little scarred from 2018 when they did the two running back situation with Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins. And it felt like it never really worked. And then, of course, J.K. Dobbins talked about that a ton and said, you know, I wasn't myself. I was trying to hit home runs. And he comes back as the bell cow in 2019 and has a great year. Looks like a different guy. I think the issue there was, you know, Mike Weber in 2016 was kind of a guy at tailback. We know Curtis Samuel worked in a lot. 2017, when Weber was hurt, Dobbins was kind of the guy for a chunk of it at least. And so I think in 18, they both felt like they were kind of like number one backs who were having to share it. I think Trey Sermon and Master Teague come in both sort of being much more accustomed and acclimated to sharing this. That Trey Sermon shared it at Oklahoma a lot with Kennedy Brooks. I mean, he doesn't think he has to be a number one guy. Teague was J.K.'s backup last year. And I think I'd rather have J.K. Dobbins or Ezekiel Elliott or Beanie Wells. I'd rather have a number one guy. But if you're going to have a timeshare, which is what I'm expecting this to be, I think it might work. I don't think it'll be Najee Harris at Alabama, Travis Etienne at Clemson kind of running game. But I think it'll be good enough, and I think they'll end up sharing it pretty equally.
Doug Laborese from Cleveland.com joining us here on Rothman and Ice, sports columnist, also host of the Buckeye Talk pod. And Doug, on the defensive side of the ball, man, I think this secondary, there's some guys that need to prove themselves. And I think, you know, they know that within that building. But at the safety position, you lose a guy like Jordan Fuller, and we saw him make an impact last season. What are you expecting from that? Maybe a couple names, or is there one name that you're looking at that can maybe fill that hole?
Yeah, I think the guy you have to keep in mind, and I think the way Matt Barnes, the safeties coach, talked about it on a call today with the media, is Marcus Hooker. I think that continuing that Hooker legacy at safety, being that center fielder, I thought Ryan Day was smart about it yesterday when he talked to us. That, you know, Jordan Fuller, I think, was underrated here because he's a guy, he was a sixth-round pick, I think, in the NFL, or seventh-round pick, and got in there and is kind of showing something as a rookie in the NFL. I think he was a better player here than any of us even maybe realized. That he was really solid, very reliable on the back end. And I think Marcus Hooker might fit that. I think Josh Proctor maybe is a little more of a playmaker, but if they're going to stay in this single high safety look, which it sounds like they are as kind of their base defense, I think Marcus Hooker is that center fielder. And I think you need to watch out for him because I just think he might be the exact kind of guy that they want back there.
Doug, kind of end on maybe just an overall season question. I think we all expect with this roster, they'll line up and be favored in every game. On paper, they're better than anybody they play. Doesn't guarantee that they can run the table. Do you have a feeling, and I don't know how these other games are going to look, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Bama, Georgia, if Ohio State loses a game, can they still make the playoff in your mind?
Yeah, I think they could. I think they could. I mean, I think I'm just sort of discounting the Pac-12 because they're starting 2 weeks later and they don't have an established national contender like Ohio State going in. So I'm kind of counting the Pac-12 out and I'm kind of counting the Big 12 out because the Big 12's a mess. And I don't think Oklahoma State's going to run the table and be an undefeated Big 12 champ. So then there's three conferences for four spots. And so, you know, Notre Dame's interesting in the ACC. North Carolina's interesting. Of course, you know, Georgia and Bama are both interesting. But I do think there's probably still room. If they trip up, have a weird loss, but then win the Big Ten championship, I still think, you know, I don't think the playoff would be like two ACC teams and two SEC teams. You know, no Big Right. 10, no Big 12, no Pac-12. And even with one loss, I think they'd be ahead of anybody in the Pac-12 and Big 12. So as much as I think we're all kind of assuming and expecting that they get through this Big Ten schedule undefeated, I actually do think they have a little wiggle room.
Yeah. Doug, we've got about 1 minute here, Doug, before we got to let you go. You know, Browns Steelers, big game this week, man. What do you think the Browns are going to look like going up against this defense?
The thing that I keep telling people is that the Browns could get smoked on Sunday and still be a very good team, which is not a very – you know, positive way to think about this game. I think there are three playoff teams in the AFC North. I think the Browns can play with almost anybody. They're not going to go 14-2. Going to Pittsburgh is tough. I think Pittsburgh is the most balanced team that maybe they've played so far, offense and defense. So can they compete? Yes. But if they don't compete, that's a tough pass rush. They have multiple weapons on offense. If the Browns don't look very good on Sunday, it doesn't mean that they're not going to win 10 games and make the playoffs. So I just want to have people keep that in mind because I think with the Browns especially, we can wildly swing from optimism to pessimism. And in the NFL, sometimes you just lose, man.
It's what they do, baby. That's what Browns. Yeah. We got to give them their due now, though. They're 4-1 and big game coming up. Signature game, I agree. Doug, thanks for hopping on, man. We always appreciate it. Be well.
Thanks, fellas. I'll see you.